welcome to the first, what I hope will be very, very, very many, Loxbury podcasts. This will be a sort of semi-free range. That means it's unscripted. Me, Alex Linder, who you can find at vnnforum.com and also our new social media, I hope you all will join, which is pieville.net. And it will deal with things that I'm thinking about. I've done a lot of audiobooks, as you know, as we built a learning college of some of the best texts out there, along with some interpretation to help you really get the most out of them. But this is going to be more of a free form recording where I talk about the news. And you know, I've never cared about the news overly, except as it presents pegs for the evergreen stuff, the eternal in the ephemeral, as I like to say. Again, pieville.net. You can feel free to join it. I won't promise you'll get more free speech than anywhere else. I'll just promise you'll get more free speech than you'll get from Fag Dorsey or Christian Albert Alfonso, whatever his name is, Torba. Let's put it that way. And I know that from personal experience, having been banned multiple times from those places. Sniff. But what in the world does Loxbury podcast mean? Well, it's amusing to me. And I was going to do a whole shtick, but I'm not going to do it in this initial offering that, unlike Uber, is going to rise. Yet still I rise. I be banned off Twitter and shit. Yet still I rise. I be banned by that Christian nigga talk, but yet still I rise. Why, I done tripped over a nail coming up in the stair, but still I rise. Now, you know I like to talk about ideas and things that I'm thinking, so that's mostly what I'm going to do. But to get through this thing called life, I'm going to have with me a couple of helpers, and I'm going to introduce you to my man Stu Grimes. Now, he's not going to talk in this issue, but let's just say Stu Grimes is a master of the keyboard. And I don't mean the kind that plays fruity little gay tunes that you like to listen to. You're not listening to this Loxbury podcast. I mean, the man knows data. He knows where to get it. He knows the scientific approach to accumulating evidence that can be used by the artistic masters to put it into a composition fit for a museum. A museum, a gorgeous museum for the ear. Which is kind of what I'm looking for here. And along with him, we're going to resurrect my favorite traveling pocket companion. You may remember him if you go way back as Klein Saucer. He's like a pygmy, mouse, dwarf, hamster, some kind of comp. We don't need to go into his DNA. It's not important. But Klein Saucer's nickname is God. And I figured, since I'm here, and other people are here, and they regularly have someone called God advising them, I'm going to have God advising me. Now, I want to say that although this, you know, literally, scientifically, is a vermin, yes, that's true. He's in my pocket. He's very clean, though. I kind of brush him down with a toothbrush. Whenever he gets fleas, I put a little detergent on him, and then I grab all his legs and circle his neck with my finger, and then I stick him in the water and all the fleas fall off him. But normally he doesn't get fleas too much. Anyway, he's going to be offering me some advice. He'll probably chirp up at various moments. I don't know if he'll have a speaking voice either, but he will advise me now and then. So Stu Grimes, Klein Saucer, and me are going to lead you through some of the mazes of the news and intellectual discourse of the day. You know, and last couple years, I've been studying to answer in my own mind as completely, as fully, but most of all as accurately as possible. Why will white people not defend themselves? And ultimately, I guess I'm not to the ultimate point, but I believe that Christianity has a hell of a lot to do with it. Now, you could say Christianity, there's something that whites can be appealed to rationally, but they also very much are dreamy or imaginative type people, and then they get captured by something and misled and seduced, and they don't think as clearly. So I spent a lot of time thinking about Christianity, and Christianity, Catholicism, is a very, very worked out system. And a lot of the aspects or a lot of the things that it says are true. Ultimately, what it's grounded in, though, is not true. And I think today I'm just going to talk a little bit. I've been listening to a certain personage on Red Ice and talking about Sweden and how, you know, we've heard him talk other times about the promotion of sex in Germany after the war. And it just, a lot of things he doesn't tell you. And what he doesn't tell you is they destroyed a hell of a lot of, not just like Arnold Brecker's artwork, the sculptor, but they destroyed all the basic Aryan educational materials the National Socialist used to teach people about Jews. They don't want whites understanding who they are, where they come from, or seeing themselves in any other way except for a Jewish context. And Christianity is part of that. And over these podcasts, we're going to talk a lot about Christianity and what is wrong with it from a racial point of view. But, and this took me a long time to realize, and I don't know why I didn't think of it earlier, but Jones always mentions Jews promoting degeneracy as a way to control the masses. But he never ever mentions race mixing as a form of sexual degeneracy or as a way to control the masses. And yet it's the number one form of sexual degeneracy that Jews promote. In fact, it's almost like a multiplier effect is in place. By promoting degeneracy, you lower the IQ. And we all know, if you've listened to any racial stuff, you know that we call them mud sharks, women who consort with blacks, or sometimes it could be the other way, but they're something like 12 times likelier to be beaten up or murdered. I forget which it is, but a large multiple likelier to be beaten, abused, etc., by non-whites than by white husbands or boyfriends. So when you look at all the rates of sexual degeneracy, they are all higher among blacks and browns than Jews around the clock, and particularly in porn, promote to white people. So that the Catholic ideologue, while he's pointing out that yes, sexual liberation is tied to political revolution. It's a way to take over, to disorient, disrupt, and take over a settled, successful society. It is still only properly seen, as it is today at least, leaving aside other times and places, as a form of racial attack. That's what the promotion of sexual liberation is. When you're talking about whites and what they're doing or what they're having done to them by Jews. And that's always left out. And that is left out because to the Catholic, to Jones, Eugene Michael Jones of Culture Wars, there's nothing morally wrong. His only concern is the morality, as the Catholics define it, which of course they insist is absolute. It's not, but that's their game, is insisting that it is. And in any case, for our concern, it's that it's their only concern is the morality. So there's nothing immoral about breeding with other races. Now, for you and me, or at least for me, I mean, we don't care about the morality of breeding with other races. We care about the effect of breeding with other races, and that is to downgrade the whites, because we're looking at things from the standpoint of the white man and what's good for whites. And we can see that in South America, that breeding with non-whites has led them downhill and produced a lot of not so great people, a lot of not so great nations. Now, Jones never mentions that he never mentions this as an aspect. I want to make a parallel here. It's actually a parallel to MGTOW, and they're constantly, men going their own way, going on about feminism, which is right, but not noticing that it's not women coming up with these laws generally. It's not women who are empowered. It's Jews who are empowering them. And these are two things. The sexual immorality and the feminism are part of the same thing. The promotion of homosexuality and the promotion of race mixing are all part of the same thing. And I just even today came across two quotes from somewhere in an UNS column in which they're saying we have to destroy the German race, we have to destroy the German people. And this is left out of all the Catholic teaching. All the stuff that Jones is saying, he never mentions that, yeah, there's a racial war. The Jews don't see themselves as rejectors of Jesus, or I should say, they do see themselves that way, but they don't define themselves that way. The Catholic defines Jews as rejectors of Jesus, but Jews define themselves as a race at war with all others and intending to dominate them, and they do that, they defeat the races who pose them the greatest threat, like the Germans and the white race. They defeat them by mixing their genes out of existence. Now, if you wanted to promote sexual liberation, why would you also then promote millions of Muslims being brought into a country? I mean, Muslims are not known for sexual liberation. They're known for sexual repression, if anything. All of this can't be accounted for by Jones or any of the Catholic theorists. But most important of all, in proving that Catholics are actually on the side of the Jews and effectively serve as a good cop to the Jews, bad cop, is not just their 1001 verbal dishonesties, but what actually happened when some group did more than simply talk about cleaning up the sexual garbage, and that was the Nazis. And what did the Catholics do? They sided with the Jews, the communists. And none of this is ever mentioned by Jones. And just to let you know the power of this, Jones has tried to get me to take down my recordings of his books, which include commentary. It's not simply a recording of what he wrote, but it's talking about it and discussing it. He wants it taken down, and he's even slanderously described what I did as pirating. That's how worried he is about the racial take in comparison to his Catholic ideological take. His ideology says that race doesn't matter, whereas we racialists are free to look at the whole thing and draw our conclusions from all the data and not just reject facts because they don't fit our ideology. Like, their ideology says race isn't important. We say, well, it is important. Look at the, and we don't start thinking that necessarily. We might or we might not, but we look at it and we say, gee, objectively, yeah, I think it actually does matter, pretty much. The Catholics who are white would rather live around white Protestants than live around Mexican Catholics. Who could deny that? No one could deny that. It's self-evidently true. And you look at the, how can they run all those maps showing the ethnic breakdown of the different cities, and, oh, the whites live here, the blacks live here, the whatevers. Well, they're all, and the Mexicans live here, you know. They're all Christians, and yet they don't live together. And so race is tremendously important, but Catholic ideology can't take it into account. So if you look at it, Jews are a racial cult, and they set up Christianity as an unracial, an anti-racial, functionally anti-racial cult, a universalist cult, Catholics get angry if you call what their thing a general cult. They want to say universal, because it sounds more impressive to them. And you'll see social status figures hugely in their thinking. They'll try to use that to intimidate you. Oh, you know, we have something that's been around. Their cockroach pride motif, that their church has been around for 2,000 years, even though it's, you know, pushed off in various different directions and had constant schisms and constant heresies, and who knows where it will be for 10 years from now. Voorhees says that he thinks it will be extinct in the USA, I guess he means, because literally half their priests are queers, quarter active, and 25% inclined, and I guess the rest are sexually normal. Of course, they're supposed to be celibate, so that's not all that normal as it is, but, and they're basically living the high life off the money the church has piled up over the years. And the nuns and the priests are all old, or else if they're young, they're queer. So not a good future for the church in the U.S. The trends cannot be reversed overnight. And so I think that Christianity is destructive. I think it is, on the whole, because of its ideology. And this is the hard part, and what I'm going to use this podcast to explain, is that ideas and consistency and principles do matter. You have to pick the right principles. The point is not to mock principles in general. Principles are what got Jews to the top. The principle of racial loyalty and sticking together is what, even before media control and money control, is what gave them their power. Knowing who they are and where they're going, knowing who you are, who we are, and where we're going, that's the most powerful thing in the world. And that's where it starts, and that's the basis for everything else. And so that's what this podcast is going to be about. It's a metaphor or an analogy drawn from the sports tout world, if you're familiar with that. If you're not, it doesn't matter. But I'll get into it as I feel the right energy. I will do it in the style of one of those old sports shows that were so funny back in the day, before the internet was really going. But anyway, the lox refers to loxism. And that's the defining hatred of our time. That's going to be, I was going to call this the Loxism Today report. But I'm very much against anything. It's always going to be today. Every single day is today. And I really disagree with anything that suggests that Jews are a supernatural problem, or a weather-like problem, which is to say a condition, which is to say something that can't be fixed or can't be done about and must simply be suffered. I don't like that. So I would even call it the Loxbury Report, is basically what I'm going to do a lot of on the Loxbury podcast. That's just a name to give it a little more character, give it a form. But it's going to be about Loxism, which is really the defining force, motivation. Loxism is the zeitgeist, the hatred of whites by Jews. More broadly, but more diffusely, the hatred of all non-Jews by Jews, but specifically the hatred of whites by Jews, the defining political force and media motive in today's world, in 2019, as I write. As I talk, it's May 15th, 2019 is the date we're recording this first one, this 001 of the Loxbury podcast. And I'm going to be talking a lot about Catholicism, a lot about E. Michael Jones, who, as best I can tell, I found a couple others. For those who want to follow along, the stuff that I'm looking at and thinking about right now, I've done a lot of E. Michael Jones. He's one of the better Catholic apologists. You've also got Michael Voris, a reformed gay who heads Church Militant, criticizes the church clergy for being taken over by queers, although he's an ex-queer himself, maybe. And you've got, who is it? Taylor Marshall and his buddy Tim Benson, I think his name is. And they do TNT. They do good YouTube videos for learning about kind of the basics of Catholicism. They do a lot of interpretation of what the Pope is doing. all this is significant stuff. This is where the whites have invested a lot of time building up this church. And I want to point out the effects of this Catholic ideology, and it is an ideology. An ideology is the intellectuals who define conservatism in the modern age, traced it back to Burke, and they deliberately were saying that conservatism is a disposition, not an idea. They directly countered it to an ideology, saying it's the opposite of an ideology. It's a disposition to be careful and appreciate what you have. Now, of course, we attack the conservatives, not least because of me writing that we should, and we've had all this effectiveness ever since. It's partly what elected Trump. When we have to attack the conservatives and drive them out of the middle, but still, I'm acknowledging that the basic disposition to be careful and look at what you're doing and think about it and say, why does this exist, rather than just think everything. Basically, a conservative is someone who's the opposite of this Cortez broad bartender from New York. Someone who thinks everything is easy and accessible and has no clue how actually stupid she is. Everything that's opposite of her is what conservatism is, something that's older, wiser, far seeing, and thoughtful. Unfortunately, conservatism has come to be associated completely with lack of balls, which is justifiable, but maybe in the thing itself inherently, in the idea of being careful and cautious and thinking about things, there's nothing wrong with that, certainly. But anyway, I guess I've always tried to do what I don't think others are doing correctly or at all. And criticism of Christianity, I really believe, is we've spread out the circle of people who understand that the Jew is the direct problem of, or direct cause of all these problems that are afflicting our society. And we see that the Jew is trying to produce white genocide. Well, what is white genocide to a Catholic like E. Michael Jones? Well, it's nothing, because they don't value race. And it's not just that they don't value race. Because of their ideology, they refuse to take into account that other people do value race. So he won't ever acknowledge that, yeah, the Jews are a race at war with every other and trying to destroy every other, particularly trying to destroy the white race. Jews are motivated by Loxism, as I call it, and they're trying to genocide whites. He doesn't ever acknowledge any of that. But that is why he can't explain what's actually going on in Sweden. Why are the Jews promoting? And here's the comment I left at the Red Ice, which he just did today again, May 15th. I said, funny that Jones never mentions the number one form of sexual degeneracy promoted by Jews. Good journalists would point this out and make him put his cards on the table. Now, what you want to do when you're talking with him is get him to say, bring it out of him. Bring him to, okay, make him bring his principle to the surface and let him put it there. And let's see how attractive or ugly it is, like a carp with humanoid lips. Say, well, make E. Michael Jones say that race mixing, miscegenation, is not immoral. Well, Joe, what's the church's position on race mixing? Make him say it. Bring it out of him. Well, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. So blacks marrying whites is not immoral in your book. No, there's nothing wrong as long as they follow God's law. Make him say that overtly so you see where he's coming from. Don't be so overawed by people. And listen to me, I was talking about Jones before anybody ever heard of the guy. I was the first one who ever talked about him among all these racialists and who brought him out and said, here, look, this guy has a lot of value, and he does. Some of his analysis is good. All of his examples are good. He, whether he doesn't understand it or refuses to accept it, doesn't see that there's a better pattern they fit into. They make a different pattern than the one that he uses to explain them. So he can't explain why, you know, he can say this, that, and other people, oh, wow, that's awesome, because they don't know the facts he's talking about, because he really does know a million different little pieces of history and has traveled all these places. But he can't explain things as well as the racialist can, whether me or someone else, because that explanation, which actually does drive the Jews, is off the table. So we could quote. He doesn't quote Jabotinsky like I saw today. We have to destroy Germany and the German people. You know, they're not using these sexual tricks and this pornography to control the mass. They're using it to destroy our race. Right? Jones can say, oh, they don't. Well, Jones, if they just want to control the masses with pornography, why is there such a huge, and you can easily verify this, if you don't watch pornography, you go to a porn site and watch how much interracial pornography there is. Why within the sub, if just pornography is good enough, why do they specifically focus on the most degenerate kinds of porn they possibly can? Anal sex, interracial sex, even now they're really pushing like, now that they fucked up all these families and had, you know, people remarry, they're promoting incestuous sex in their pornography. He can't explain that. You know, because his theory, his school, his religion, his ideology doesn't value race at all. And therefore, he never takes it into consideration as a motivation of others. But it is the guiding motivation of Jews. As even the Jew Brown, who exhibited classic Jewish racial traits of dissembling, lying, pretending not to understand, said, you know, and I don't think he was lying because it doesn't really serve his interest to lie. Jews don't pay the attention that you're claiming to Jesus. It's just not that big of a deal to them. Whereas Jones and the Catholics, and this includes Mike Hoffman, who's another semi-nut, Jews aren't a race. Jews aren't a race. Jews only became Jews when they rejected Jesus, and that's their Catholic position, which is a little difficult to understand. But so there's these people who acted like rats all the way back to, you know, page one of Genesis, but somehow no, Jews split, and some accepted Jesus and some rejected him. The ones that rejected him, now they're the ones that are called Jews from, I guess, from that point forward. And what they were before, I don't know. Hebrews, Israelites, House of Judea, or from Judea, or House of Judah. It's all confused. But it, to my mind, you simplify it. Look, there's a people that exist today. They've done the genetic studies. They're not Khazars. That was a bogus theory that was invented by Arthur Koestler, an ex-communist, supposedly, to throw people off the scent, to say, well, the objection to Jews through all the centuries was racial, but it wasn't articulated because people didn't have the concept of race the way they have it today. They certainly didn't have the science, but yet they had an instinctive understanding that Jew is a different type of creature long before the 1850 plus, when we started getting the genetic words to put to that, and before Wilhelm Marr came up with 1880. Jones likes to go into the etymology of that, and Wilhelm Marr was a non-Jew who invented the term anti-Semite specifically to differentiate his racial opposition to Jews, which he called, he apparently coined the neologism anti-Semitism, and it really is unfortunate from today's perspective, but he was trying to differentiate that from the traditional historical theological objection to Jews as you killed Jesus and said his blood be on us and our children. You understand? So Jones is always careful to articulate the basis for his opposition to Jews is not racial. And he's right. That is, the Catholic objection to Jews is not racial. The Catholic position on Jews is we have to convert them to Christianity the same as any other men, because we are the universal truth. Jesus founded this church. He didn't found a Protestant church. He founded this church. And he said, only through me goes the path to the Father and the eternal life. Only through this church that I founded. That's the only way to get to heaven. That's the only way to have an everlasting life. And eternal life is through me and through my church, the Catholic Church. That's what Catholicism is. And all men need it, and no man can ever have another way. Now, they're getting Weasley after Vatican II in the 60s, but that's the thing. It's a universal church that everyone needs, and it's the one true church. And this is Catholic ideology. Do you notice there's no part of race in that? All that matters is whether you are part of that one apostolic, you know, the line of succession from Jesus through the Pope to today. All that matters in the deepest sense is whether you are part of that church and you're in communion, you're part of that body, and you take the bread and the wine, which are, they believe, are literally Jesus. Literally. Like cannibalism, or one-third cannibalism, since Jesus is, you know, one-third man, one-third spirit, and one-third God. Either you're part of that or you ain't. And that's the only race they know, is basically a spiritual race. Either you're part of their mystical body of Christ or you're not. And this is the big division to them. So they don't care about your mere atoms or your mere flesh or your mere race. That stuff's not real. That's clown stuff. And Jones will say, well, once you leave the church, oh, you lose the church's protection. Then you're white, and then the government can get you. But we need to begin to ask Jones the obvious questions. And I should say, someone offered Jones money to go on a stream with me, and he said, no thanks. So I, by contrast, in the very whitely, I might add, am willing to discuss this stuff with Jones anytime, anywhere. He can have his own moderator. He can have his own engineer. He can tape it however he likes. As long as what I say is not distorted, of course. I'll even refrain from cursing. I'd be happy to debate him. Not to question him, but to debate him. Because I know what is wrong with his point of view. And I know where he is not telling you what you need to know to get to the truth. And actually, that's part of why I'm doing this podcast. But let's see. So a lot of this is what I've been thinking about in recent years and really studying up on Catholicism and finding out why whites don't want to defend themselves. And what I've come to believe is that really, ultimately, if whites have been Catholic for 2,000 years, they've been Christian for 2,000 years, and remember, Protestantism is only 500 years old, so three-quarters of the time was Catholic before Protestantism either existed. So it is saying this mystical body is all that matters, not your actual flesh and blood body. This has started to inform how we think about things, if this has always been our church. And if you have to look, what absolutely drives Catholics insane more than any other issue? Think about it. I'm not tricking you. I'm asking you a question. What is it? 5, 4, 3. It's abortion. You know that, right? They go nuts. They cannot stand the idea of abortion. What did they get most vociferous about under Germany and the Nazis? Well, it was the Germans had studied the excellent article by the fellow at Daily Stormer, Ben Garland. The Germans had studied the American eugenicists, the American racialists, Lothrop Stoddard and Madison Grant and the various others, the laws in Virginia and other places, and they'd said, look, we have a lot of defectives in Germany, crotch botches and what have you, and they're costing us huge amounts of money. And maybe, you know, we ought to put a limit on something. Now, you got to remember, this is not a nation filled with Iowa-sized women. These are Germans very shortly. You got to understand the vicious, hateful, nasty, hypocritical Anglos and Anglo-Americans have starved these people even after the war. They're maintaining the blockade and starving them. They still do this dirty trick today down in Venezuela and other places. That's what they're attempting to do with these sanctions, is starve these people to death, deny them medications they need, deny them food. So they had been doing this to Germany. So it's not like they're a bunch of obese, sedate consumers. No, they are starving, turning to prostitution, coming out of World War I, desperate, hungry. They don't have excess money to go around to support all these crotch botches, these defectives, these others. But this is what absolutely drove the Catholics wild, so much that they protested, and Hitler, I guess, kind of backed off because he had, you know, bigger fish to fry, right? So why do they feel that way? Because they really, in the most fundamental sense, every hominid, the minute the egg meets the sperm, God has created a new being of inestimable value. And not only is that their ideology, do they say they believe it, they act like they believe that. So you have to assume they actually do believe it, because they do seem to believe their own bullshit in that particular. So think about that. How trivial are all the mundane political stuff of the superficial, ephemeral, terrestrial world that we actually, the world that exists is what I'm saying, versus everlasting life and the soul's chance to be in union with God the Son and God the Father for all eternity. That's what really matters. So how can that not be the ultimate source of what's called Western political liberalism? I don't see how it can't be. This belief in God creation. So when I say, when Jefferson said created equal, he was already being redundant. Once you say created by the omnipotent, all-powerful source of the universe, as Jones claims he is, he says nothing can't, something can't come from nothing, and then he says, except for God, of course. Well, I didn't say so. I said something couldn't come from nothing, so God always existed. Okay, so you've solved a problem using words. You've worded your way around the problem that you posed, breaking your own law that you just stated, using words in a very Jewy way. But anyway, that's his little play, and that's their play that they claim proves, and that's the Logos, which is not a, understand this, Logos is not a Christian concept. He's using a Greek concept to support Christianity, but it's not. It has nothing to do with claims about Jesus or anything like that. He's, again, you know, God is a rhetorical device used by con men. But so far as people believe there is a God and he created all of us, and you've seen these retard Prol shirt, God ain't finished with me yet, and, you know, God don't create no botches or whatever. I don't know what it is. I forget. But the basic idea is that if everything is created by God, that is the most fundamental, pervasive, profound equality there ever could be. And the rest on top of that is just trivial. And I mean, it can ramify a million ways. I mean, it, as I've said before, it could lead to, well, you have a moral duty to be your brother's keeper. Even if your brother is a black brother who's a slave, you got to steward him and teach him and raise him up. Well, this is where all these problems come from. And this is the source of liberalism. And I would say, well, maybe you've heard me make this argument before, but I'll make this as we go ahead. You know, if you have nature, and nature operates by genocide, and 99% of the species that ever existed on Earth do not exist today, and they fight and battle it out, and some survive and some don't, then Judaism, which is a cult of race, not a cult of rejectors of Jesus, is the only religion that I know of that's in line with nature. And we whites need to come up with our own religion, or at least our own political force, that is also in line with nature, that says, hey, we matter. We're going to defend ourselves. We don't want to be dominated by you, let alone wiped out. We don't want anything to do with you. We want you out of our space. That's the articulation of the natural principle when processed by human mind and put into human words, as I just did, right? So the Jews are the only one who have a religion that's actually in line with how nature operates. That means something. And against that, you have the Catholic Church of, you know, mysticism, essentially. It talks about the natural order, but when it gets to, well, here's the natural order actually at work. And see, if we were debating, these are the points I would make. And see how he'd respond. And but, you know, there's a lot of ways to go at him. I've been putting them forward, and people are, I know, they're hitting him up on Twitter. I guess he's on Twitter. And making some of these points to him, and just seeing how he responds. And it's fun, because so far he's only been treated fawningly. No one has questioned him. No one has pointed out that his read on this stuff is ideological. And he is 1,000 times over guilty of what he accuses others of doing, which is bending reality into conformance with his ideology. Or in layman's terms, he's thrown out facts that don't fit what he wants to believe is true. I don't do that, ever. If the facts conflict with what I want to believe, I change my belief. But I try not to have a belief until I know the facts. And if I don't know the facts, that I am conscious and I say to others, being honest, that I'm speculating or this is a preference. Right? So when I refer to God, it's just a mouse in my pocket. And we're talking about the system that Kleinsasser and I prefer to live in. Maybe you too. And I can think of a number of reasons it's preferable to some other arrangement. Anyways, this is the type of stuff we're going to be discussing on this podcast. And I think I'll wrap it up there, because I will hit this theme over and over and over. This is the main thing I've been thinking about the last few years, and ultimately I will write a book that deals with all this, because racialists really haven't done it too much. And I think that you see, in the end, find where the people's minds are and where they're salvageable. And whites now are looking for leadership, and telling them to go in the church and all that is not the right way to go. We were not put on this earth to be submissive and to be dominated by this vile group of people called Jews. We should fight them with every atom. And it's absolutely wonderful to see these young white heroes kill these Jews. Absolutely love that. They are absolutely heroic for sacrificing their lives for this glorious, most important cause. I 100% believe that, and I 100% say that. And I 100% appreciate the sacrifice they've made for you, for me, and for all of us. And I thank them for it. And that's how I'm going to end. Hero, Robert Bowers. Hero, Anders Breivik. Hero, John Ernest. Other heroes I'll mention other times. Now, I'm going to be recording this podcast fairly often, I guess. It seems to be a good way to respond to things. I've done a lot of audiobooks over the years, and I'm going to keep doing that, but I want to comment more on stuff. Maybe they won't all be as long as this. Maybe some of them will be longer. It's kind of a way of working out theoretical stuff as well. And I'm encouraging you to join pyville.net and participate with us. We're in the early stages. We have a few dozen people. It's already quite nice. And it is, like I said, it's a Twitter-type thing, a Gab-type thing. Except we won't kick you off. You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to follow me. You don't have to talk or think or act or worry about me in the slightest or anybody else. And we're not going to ban anybody. Just vnnforum.com rules apply. You know, make your case. Don't harass other people or post porn or crap like that. We don't want that. We're about just, you know, exchanging views. You don't even have to use it politically. But anyway, that's my personal favorite format. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on Twitter. I'm not on Gab. I'm only on pyville.net. And other than that, recording things, doing a daily feed, as I call it, at kirksvilletoday.com, which is really covers the whole globe. Sometimes I throw in some Kirksville stuff, but that's pretty much what I'm doing. Anyway, thanks for listening. I'm going to be recording more of these. This is the Loxbury Podcast 001, the first recorded May 15th, 2019. And I want to thank you for listening, and I will be back with you again real soon.